I don't have a, if you probably noticed in your bulletin, I don't have a formal sermon today. So if you're wondering, oh boy, if he's just getting started preaching right now, we better buckle up because we're going to be here for quite a while. But no, that is not the case. What I want to do is just share with you very briefly kind of a part two of where we started on Christmas Eve, really. And if you remember, we were pointing over here and I was talking about these shepherds. And I was pointing out how these shepherds who were the dregs of society, God elevated up so that as we reflect on the shepherds and we think about them, we're always reminded of the fact that these guys who are out watching over their flocks by night and wouldn't have been allowed even to come to church to worship formally, and yet God said, I want you to be the first people to see my son Jesus. I want angels to come and speak over you and celebrate with you and challenge you to run to the stable to see Jesus before anybody else gets to. And hopefully you got excited about that as you kind of thought, well, I'm a little bit like a shepherd. I'm a little bit blue collar. I often felt like I'm not really worth this salvation, worth this Jesus who sits on the throne of heaven. I'm not really worthy of that type of love and attention. And maybe if you felt that way, you kind of related to the shepherds a little bit. Many of you are nodding. Well, then, it didn't just end there with Jesus' thought about shepherds. And this wasn't the first time that we see shepherds brought up in the Bible. In fact, shepherding keeps coming up. And if you go backwards, it shows up in the Psalms as David reflects on many of your favorite psalm in Psalm 23. And he reflects on shepherding. And then Jesus himself in many places talks about shepherding as well. And I'm just going to pick one as a little reflective devotional for us to think about this morning. And this is in John chapter 10. And I hate to do this to you, Scott, but you know that I'm prone to do this anyway. So I'm actually backing up, and he's not ready for this. I'm backing up to verse 1. Backing up to verse 1. If you can't get it, that's okay. They can just catch it. Wow, you're quick, see? I'm sorry, 10:1, not 1:1. 10:1. I'm not going all the way back yet to the beginning. I'm not going to read from chapter 1 through chapter 10. Then we are going to be here for quite a while. We're going to stick with chapter 10 of the Gospel of John called The Shepherd and His Flock. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus uses figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. So we see this transitive kind of place biblically, and Jesus has said it before now, but now he says it kind of more emphatically, and he loves using, I think, these analogies to trip people up, because as they learn about who Jesus is and see his miracles in their own mind's eye, just like we do, they've created an image of who God is and who the Messiah is and therefore who Jesus must be. And then he flips things on its head and starts referring to himself as a shepherd. And like, wait a minute. So not only did you invite shepherds to come and see Jesus first, but now Jesus is turning around saying, I am a shepherd. And by extension, by the way, this means that you are, you're sheep. Well, this is somewhat insulting because of the fact that the other thing that the reason that sheep need a shepherd is they're kind of dumb. And they'll tend to just wander off and do things they're not supposed to do. So they need constant attention. I mean, most other livestock animals don't require somebody walking around with a shepherd's crook to grab him and pull him back and get him off of cliff edges when they fall down to get picked back up and dragged back up. Most other livestock like that don't periodically have a rebel in the group where the shepherd actually breaks his leg so he'll quit running away and getting in trouble. Sheep are like that. They get themselves in fixes all the time. They're incapable, worse than most any other animal, of taking care of themselves. If they get cuts, they almost always get in big trouble and get infections because they have no real way of taking care of it. Bugs constantly get in their eyes and mess them up. Sheep just are animals that need a lot of attention. And a good shepherd knows how to take care of the flock. And the good shepherd would know to not only take his flock out into the fields, but bring it back in the night and put it in a gated, well, actually, usually they would use stones and create a wall around a pen. And oftentimes, if they didn't have a formal gate to use, the shepherd, and this is why Jesus uses this analogy, if you wonder why he both refers to himself as a gate and then switches over and says, I am a shepherd, and you say, well, what's the point of that? So if you picture that this is the wall, and this is the wall, and back behind me is where the sheep are all hanging out, and this is your opening, a good shepherd would actually lay down right in the gateway. And so he was, in a sense, the gate when he laid there, because the sheep wouldn't just walk on top of him to get back out. They would stay back behind him. So he would lay there, and he would effectively be the gate. So if you ever wondered, just a little, you know, no extra charge for that, by the way. I just know a lot about this. I studied a lot because I just love this thought process, as you can tell, of Jesus being our shepherd and being the gate, because it's important. It's really important that we get it. Because too often when we see God, we see him through a lens that's been polluted by society and not enough biblically to understand how he views himself and therefore how we should view him. So when he talks about himself and says, I'm a good shepherd, I want to bring you to a place where you can eat good food. For the sheep, it's good grass. For us, it's a good word from the good book. And he says, when you get injured, when you get messed up, I want you to come to me. When you're not seeing straight, I want to what they would do is put oils, and you hear oil a lot used, anointing oil. Well, back then they actually used oil, and they would put oil on the sheep's face and around his eyes to keep the bugs off, and to help to clean up and fix and heal infections. So there's a reasoning for all this stuff that they did, and a good shepherd knew how to use all the tools of the trade, including as I mentioned, the staff to pull the sheep back in, and why Psalm 23 says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He's not saying the same thing. It's not a redundant thing. He's not just as oftentimes is used to say the same thing twice for emphasis. These are two different tools. The staff was a big, thin crook to pull him back. The rod was a shorter, as we would think of, we would use the word club. And it's used for what you think it is, for a club. This is so they could fight off predators when they came in. That wasn't what the staff was for. It's for the rod. And the rod they would use when the wolves came in. And Jesus used that analogy, right? He said, the good shepherd doesn't run away when the wolf comes. When there's trouble, the good shepherd runs at the trouble and protects the sheep. The hirelings, they take off. The people that really don't care, they take off. So then you break it down and you say, okay, does this have anything to do with today? It kind of does. Because for me personally, and this is, I think, very biblical, and yes, I get emotional about it because it's so, one of my greatest pet peeves is bad shepherds. And in our college class this morning, that was one of the questions our emerging adults ask is, well, you know, what's a bad shepherd look like as opposed to a good shepherd? And I said, well, you know, the problem is that bad shepherds can look really good because they dress the part and they speak the language, but they really don't care. And that's one of the biggest differences is a good shepherd, a good pastor really cares for his people and recognizes that it's not just his job to get up Sunday morning and preach the word of God, which sometimes is the easiest part of my week, quite frankly. Although it takes a lot of time and I put a lot of effort into it, it's going through life with you guys. And that's what we're called to do. And I think a pastor needs to reflect on his duty as a shepherd before anything else. Teaching is a part of that, without a doubt. Preaching is a big part of that, no doubt. But it hurts my heart when I've heard pastor, even pastor friends of mine, really want to view themselves as merely a preacher and then say that, you know, I don't want to deal with the people. I don't want to deal with the problems. And I'm like, but that's not what Jesus says about shepherding. Shepherding is dirty business. And you have to go through the grime and the grit with people. That's part of what we do. And thankfully, I'm not called to do that alone. And so by extension then, just as God has called me to be the pastor or shepherd of the church, he's given me the joy of serving with my other shepherds, my elders. And God has called them to a holy duty, and they know that when they take on the role of being an elder at the church. Our elders here are not simply guys that meet to have board meetings to talk about business stuff. Our elders are called to spiritually shepherd this congregation along with me. They're called to pray with me and for me, and I'm called to pray with them, and we're called to be as iron as a sharpening iron. And then by extension, our deacons, and our deaconesses are playing a role in that. And that's what the way I want them to view themselves as under-shepherds of the great shepherd. And he calls us to then lay down our lives for each other. And we say, well, what does that look like? You know, because chances are we're not going to have to physically do that, right? Praise God. That probably won't happen here. So then what does it look like? Well, it means that I have to love and prefer people over myself. And sometimes laying your life down means you're going to speak things that are difficult and challenging, and maybe it's not your life you're laying down, it's your pride, your reputation, as it were. Because sometimes doing the right thing and saying the right thing means that it's going to come back. You lose friends sometimes when you're a pastor. I've lost a lot of friends over the years because I truly believe in the Word of God and believe that as a good shepherd, I am called to say things that I might not want to say into your life. But once you've made that decision that you call Pastor Ron your pastor, now you've given me the responsibility to speak into your life. And sometimes it's not going to be warm and fuzzy and sweet and yummy, right? Sometimes it's different than that. And that's part of being a shepherd too. And I think Jesus was trying to teach that and remind his disciples that really important lesson, especially in John 10 when he walks through kind of the whole thing of it and kind of shows them. By the way, when you do this, it's not going to be about what you're thinking, because keep in mind the disciples for a little while were thinking, this sounds pretty cool. Miracles, few loaves of bread and fish, huge feast. Everybody pays attention to us. Everyone's rubbing shoulders with us. Can you give us a little Jesus time? How about it? John, you seem really close to Jesus. Do you think you can give me a little FaceTime with him? Think I could hang out with you guys a little bit today? I love what's going on. And then the buildup is Jesus kind of going, well, I know what you think this looks like. And you want to know who gets to sit at my right hand in the kingdom to come. But here's true spirituality. Here's true discipleship. Wash each other's feet. Serve each other. Your friends and your family, they're going to betray you and disown you because of your decisions, and you're ultimately going to die a martyr's death. Are you still in? Right? I mean, really, I know that's a really condensed synopsis, but that's the way it all happened. And we went from a pretty large gathering down to a pretty small group that was like, well, when you put it like that, not so much. So to tie that in, to wrap this up, when we talk about membership, we talk about joining this body of believers, we don't make apologies that we make it a little more difficult because I don't think the gospel is supposed to be simplistic and easy. I think he calls us to a rather challenging life, and he calls us as members to a rather challenging bar and says, are you in? And not everybody is ready to pick up their cross and follow, but it's worth it, right? It's worth it. Amen. All right, so as I said, and I will keep my promise, that's the entirety of my message. So I'm going to invite Jacqueline as I pray and as you stand.